Well, good evening. If you brought your Bible, would you find that and find 1 Thessalonians in the New Testament, the book of 1 Thessalonians? We're going to spend our time in 1 and 2 Thessalonians, so quick fingers tonight, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Good evening. Welcome to all who are here. Again tonight, visitors. We have visitors. We're delighted for that and because of that, and to you who are visiting tonight, we are grateful and we say welcome. Thank you, Tom, for your leadership tonight in prayer and taking us before God's throne together. Appreciate your thoughts and your heart in that. Dean, for your leadership tonight in song. Really, I tell you, James this morning and Dean tonight, those songs before I get up and preach, they really fit. For the Lord to be glorified in my life, for the Lord to be glorified in His church, for the Lord to be glorified in this church. In this church. Are you in the book of Thessalonians? I love this church. The Apostle Paul loved the saints in Thessalonica. This is a great church. It's a church that we ought to seek to model. As a local church, we ought to read 1 and 2 Thessalonians and think about the Thessalonian church and say, you know what, I want to model that. I want to imitate that. You see, because this was a church that pleased God, and this was a local church that blessed those who were a part of that local church. A church that pleased God, and a church that blessed the members that were a part of that local church. Paul prayed, and he gave thanks for these brethren. I mean, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2, Paul says, we give thanks to God. We give thanks to God, 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 2, for you all making mention of you in prayers. And here's the thanksgiving in his praying. He says, I'm remembering, verse 3, without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. And he says, verse 6, you became followers. You became followers of us as ambassadors for Christ, as men inspired and carried along by the Holy Spirit as teachers of truth. You became, Paul says, followers of us and also of the Lord. Having received the truth or the word in much affliction with joy in the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples. Examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth. From you. Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. You see, again, Paul giving thanks, your faith toward God has gone out. And verse 9, how you trusted the God and how you turned to God from idols, verse 9, to serve the true and living God and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead. Chapter 2, verse 13, again, for this reason, chapter 2, 13, we also thank God without ceasing because when you receive the word of God which you heard from us, again, from the apostles, you welcomed it. And you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. And he says, I'm giving thanks because that truth, that word of God, it is effectively at work in you. And then verse 14, again, you became imitators. Imitators of the churches of God which are in Judea. And what Paul is saying about that, the reason he gave thanks for the Thessalonian saints, is he says, your willingness to endure persecution for the cause of Christ is evident, just like those throughout the churches of Judea. Paul gave thanks. Go to the second letter, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as is fitting. Again, Paul says, because your faith grows exceedingly. Paul had seen progress from the first letter to the second letter in regards to their faith. And he says, your faith is growing, but not just your faith is growing. He says, the love of every one of you abounds towards each other. You can see Paul loved this church. and he gave thanks for these brethren. Notice the title side. It says a church worth talking about. This was a church, a local church worth talking about. How do we know that? Look at the very next verse, verse 4 in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul says, 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 4, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God. Paul said, I delight in boasting about you. Don't misunderstand. Paul's boasting about the Thessalonian saints not to draw attention so much to them, but to draw attention to the God behind those saints in Thessalonica. What God was doing through them because of their faith. What God was doing through them because of the love that God had seen in them. What God was doing through them because of the benevolent spirit that God saw in them. What God was doing through them because of the energy in the area of evangelism, the effort that was being made. From you, the word of the Lord has sounded forth. And Paul says, I speak well of you and I boast of you. You are a church worth talking about. I believe that's what God wants of this church. A local church worth talking about, worth boasting about. Faith, love, endurance and steadfastness, energy and effort and enthusiasm. What can we know about this church? This was a church that was looking inwardly, and that's why I just read to you some of the first letter and very little of the second letter. Go read the entirety of Paul's first letter and the entirety of Paul's second letter. And what you can see is Paul says, the reason I boast of you, you're a local congregation that's looking inwardly. You're a local congregation that's looking outwardly. And you're a local congregation that's definitely looking upwardly. Inward, outward, upward. And he tells us about that. You know, a church that looks inward is a family in Jesus Christ that looks to the needs of those that make up that family. To look inwardly. And it's always a need that connects itself to a person. And so while you're concerned about the need and you're trying to meet a legitimate need, you're attaching that care and concern to that person. And you're looking inwardly. Someone that needs edifying. Someone that needs encouraging. Someone that needs benevolent help. Someone that needs compassion. Someone that needs your praying. All of these things. And that was the church in Thessalonica. They looked outwardly. Paul says, from you, the word of the Lord has sounded forth. You see, to me that describes people who had, in fact, Paul said, you see, when you heard the word of truth from us, you accepted it as truth from a divine source and an inspired source, and so you welcomed it in your life. It is now effectively at work in you. And because of the power of the Word of God working on your heart, you now have that spirit and that willingness to share it with others, to see to it that it gets sounded forth to others. You see, when you're talking about a people who have truly turned to God from idols. A people who have truly given their heart over to God. A people who have faith in God and a faith and a confidence in the Word of God and the power in it, they're wanting to share it. They want to see to it that others are able to hear it. It's a church that was looking outwardly. A benevolent spirit, a willingness to share with others in need. I believe that describes this church. I honestly believe that this is a church worth talking about, where we can say this is a group that is seeking to look inwardly. We have some growing to do. We have some work to do, as does every local congregation. But I believe this is a church that is looking inwardly, and this is a church that's looking outwardly. It's also a church that's looking upwardly. You see, you said of the Thessalonian church that patience of hope, that endurance that they had because they had connected their faith to their hope, that willingness to wait for the Lord Jesus. This was a local congregation who had truly turned their eyes on the Lord. And I believe that that is absolutely essential. That's absolutely essential for every local church. Eyes turned toward the Lord. But I believe that's absolutely essential when you're speaking about a local congregation who's going through tough times. The Thessalonian church was facing persecution, adversity, as a result of turning to God. Living in a world that was anti-God. King Jehoshaphat, in the days of Judah, you can read it in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, they began to immediately realize. Now, Jehoshaphat had his bad moments, making compromise and alliances with nations and people that he should have never done. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, you find out that Jehoshaphat is made aware of the fact that the Moabites and the Ammonites are coming against Judah together to take over. And Jehoshaphat is afraid, and understandably so. He says he's seeking the Lord, 2 Chronicles 20. And in fact, a passage in verse 12 of 2 Chronicles 20 is Jehoshaphat is saying, Lord, we do not know where to go. We do not know what to do. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 12, but our eyes are on you, Lord. Our eyes are on you. I believe that could be said of the Thessalonian church. Their eyes were on the Lord. You know, the Hebrew writer tells us that we're to lay aside every weight, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3, and the sin that can so easily entangle us, and run with endurance the race that is set before us. Listen to this. Looking to Jesus, or fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. People who are looking upwardly are fixing their eyes on Jesus, turning their eyes on the Lord. A church that looks inwardly, a church that looks outwardly, and a church that looks upwardly. So what's the point? Why is this so important? I mean, why is it so important that I understand my part and that I play my part? Why is it so important that local churches realize that they have partnered with God, and that's the only reason for spiritual success? That's the only reason for favor, is it comes from God as we partner with God and we work together as a local congregation of God's people. Why do we keep our focus inwardly and outwardly and upwardly? What's the point? It keeps us humble. It keeps us humble. It takes the focus off of one man. It takes the focus off of a few. And it places the focus on God. And it places the focus on the collectivity of God's people partnering together. As I've been going through the Minor Prophets and teaching the Minor Prophets, one of the things, again, that impressed me that God wants us to continue to learn the lesson from history as we see it both in the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. What happened was when they trusted in themselves and they started trusting in their own power and their own position rather than God, when they started trusting in wealth, when they started trusting in anything or anyone other than God, they got themselves in trouble. Maybe that's why the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5 says, all of you be clothed with humility. Why? Well, Peter says, because God resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may lift you up. Be clothed with humility. Understanding this model will help to keep a local church humble. It will help to keep a local church holy. There's just a lot of passages, both Old and New Testament, that speak to the business of the concept of being holy. Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1. Gird up the loins of your mind. Rest your hope fully. Be sober. Rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, you do not conform yourself to your former lust, but as He who has called you is holy, so also you be holy in all of your conduct. 1 Peter 1 and verse 15. Be holy in your attitudes, the way you think, and be holy in your actions, the way you live, and all of your conduct, because it is written, says Peter, verse 16, you be holy, for God is holy. I referenced those in the church at Thessalonica. I call them saints. Well, that's what God called them, saints. Holy ones. Saints by calling, yes, and we're called by the gospel. But those who are called by the gospel and in faith respond to the gospel, and those who have been sanctified and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ understand they've been set apart to serve the purposes of God. That's why they're described as sanctified or holy ones. And how do holy ones think? How do holy ones live? How do holy ones in a local congregation work together? Thessalonica is the model. Or one of the models. You know, it's interesting. I was sharing with some the other day. We don't have a lot of classes where we just study the book of Leviticus. And I get that. Now, God put the book there for a reason. We can learn from the book of Leviticus. In the book of Leviticus, in chapters 18 and 19, in two chapters in one book, the expression, I am the Lord, or I am the Lord your God, I am the Lord, I am the Lord your God, in two chapters is found some 20 times. And it's in that context where God is speaking to His people, Leviticus 18 and 19. It's in that context that God is saying, do not do this, you are to do this, and do not do this because I am the Lord, and do not do this because I am the Lord your God. What is the point that God is making to His people? Especially in that context where sandwiched in there, He says, you be holy for I am holy, Leviticus 19 and verse 2. What point is He making? Yes, it has to do with how God's people are to live. But the greater point that's being pressed there in those passages behind the language, I am the Lord your God, He's saying to His people, if you are going to be my people and be holy as I am holy, if you are going to be my people, you must think the way I think. We will not be holy apart from thinking the way our holy God thinks. I will not be holy unless I see things the way God wants me to see things. I call sin what God calls sin. I call evil what God calls evil. I say of good, it's good because God has shown me it is good. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. And when you're dealing with a local congregation who understands these three points of inwardly and outwardly and upwardly and models this, you're describing a local congregation that is seeking to be holy as God is holy. It'll keep us humble. It'll help to keep us holy. And then finally, it will help to keep us hopeful. To keep us hopeful. Our desire and expectation is well placed because it's rooted in the God of all hope. Our confidence and expectation in the future yet to be realized, to God's people, it's as though it has already been fulfilled. It's yet to be realized, but in my mind and in my heart, it's a done deal. Why? Because God has made the promise. And if I will stay connected to Him, and if I will trust in Him, and if I will remain humble and holy, God makes me a promise. Heaven's yours. The outlook is favorable. I am on your side. I will be all that you need one day at a time. And don't God's people need hope? We're saved by it. Well, that was the condensed version of 1 and 2 Thessalonians. I taught 1 and 2 Thessalonians for a long time and never realized how Paul ended both letters. Both letters, Paul ended by saying, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Remember what I said this morning? We're not going to make it without the Lord. We need His favor. I need His favor in my life. We need God's favor in this local congregation. How do we secure it? By remaining true to Him. And Paul ended his second letter by not only saying the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, but the peace of God be with you. You need grace and peace today? I do. Are you going to need it tomorrow? If the Lord wills, I will. And it's available. And it's promised. And so I give thanks to God for this good church. And I end tonight in the words of the Apostle Paul, as he was writing to the Thessalonian saints. I read these to this good church tonight. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. "And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you. We have confidence in the Lord concerning you, that you are doing and will continue to do what the Lord commands. And may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the steadfastness of Christ." The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and the steadfastness of Jesus Christ. That's my prayer for this church. Are you here tonight, but you're not a member of the body belonging to Christ, of the saved belonging to Christ? Thanks be to God you can be, but not apart from the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ to wash away your sins and to deliver you from the domain of darkness. Do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is who He said He was, the Christ of God? Are you willing to repent of your sins and come in faith to Jesus Christ in obedience to be born again of water, to be immersed in water, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, for the remission of those sins? Are you here and you need forgiveness from the Lord? You need grace and mercy from the Lord? Can we pray to Him on your behalf? Can we hold up your hands? Can we help to bring you back into fellowship with God and strengthen you that you will now walk with God? If we can help you spiritually in any way, we encourage and invite you to come while together we stand and while we sing.